Unit 1, Geographical Factors and South Indian History. Page 3, Structure. 1.0, Objectives. 1.1, Introduction. 1.2, Background. 1.3, Influence of Seas and Maritime Activities. 1.4, Deccan Plateau. 1.5, Coromandel Coast Plain. 1.6, The Mysore Plateau. 1.7,
West Coast.
1.8, River Basins. 1.9, Climate and Crops. 1.10, Let us sum up. 1.11, Questions for self-study. 1.12, Books for further study. Page 4, 1.0, Objectives. Purpose of this unit is to introduce you the main geographical factors of South India, which played a major role in shaping the evolution of South Indian culture and history. After studying this unit, you are able to learn the main topographical features of South India, understand the peninsula character of South India, which is surrounded by seas, find out distinct character of Deccan Plateau and its influence, know the dominant role played by Western Coast and Eastern Coromandel Plain in the history of South India, grasp the terrain division of the land division in territorial fragmentation and formation subcultural regions in South Indian history. Know the absence of Great Plain, which could have brought uniformity in political and social system as it happened in case of North India. Learn the facts that despite of diverse geographical features, there was no obstacle for the people migration, which facilitated a kind of cultural unity among the South India.
1.1 Introduction. South India is broadly defined in historical writings as covering the present-day linguistic states of Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Kerala, and Tamil Nadu, where the four major languages of Dravidian family are spoken. It is also understood as an area over which certain uniform cultural patterns evolved from early historical times, that is, from the beginning of the Christian era. The major geographical divisions of South India are the Deccan Plateau, the plains of Andhra, Tamil, and Mysore Plateau regions, and the coastal strips from Maharashtra down to Kerala, separated by the long stretch of Western Ghats.
Page 5. These have been recognized as a major regional constituent shaping historical configurations and forming the dynastic heartland of the dominant ruling families of the four regions in the early medieval period. Pioneering works on the history of South India recognize the importance of geography but have largely concentrated on political narratives of dynastic change and administrative institutions, with some marginal attention to the social and economic aspects in their concluding chapters. Geography, however, remained isolated in the introductory chapters, pointing to a conspicuous lack of an integrated approach.
1.2 Background. South India is a complex composite region consisting of diverse physical, social, and cultural components. The ancient Indians had conceived the idea of Bharat as a single territory unit as early as the age of the Puranas. The hymns from the Vishnu Purana confirms this fact. It declares that the land between the snowy mountains in the north and the great ocean in the south was Bharat, which was inhabited by the descendants of Bharata. However, in spite of this ethnic identity projected in the cultural context, there were two perennial cores of civilization identified by W.M. Day, that is, the Gangetic Plain or Vedic Aryan India and Coromandel Plain with its extension to the tablelands of the interior peninsula or Dravidian India. It is also true South India was never cut off culturally from the rest of the Indian subcontinent, but its geography offers distinctive topographical features which has influenced the evolution of distinctive ethno-social cultural system in South India. 1.3 Influence of Seas and Maritime Activities. The peninsular portion of India lies south of an imaginary line from about 13 degree north latitude at Western Ghats and to about 18 degree of north latitude on the Bay of Bengal. A glance at the map of India shows that Peninsular India is projecting itself into the ocean.
Page 6.
On either side of it, the Arabian Sea on the west and Bay of Bengal on the east wash the shores. The land gets narrower as it reaches the Indian Ocean at Cape Comorin. From Kanyakumari, the Malabar coast to the northwest and the Coromandel coast to the northeast run as long as 1,000 miles. There are certain natural harbors on both sides. For navigation, the west coast is more advantageous than Coromandel coast. Cochin, Goa and Bombay are fine harbors on the west coast. They provide excellent anchorages for ships. K. Nilakanta Sastri says that maritime routes from the Mediterranean and Africa to China, Peninsular India maintain fairly a brisk maritime trade with the nation on either side. It had a large share in cultural expansion of southeastern lands across the Bay of Bengal. Even the Periplus of Erythraean Sea of an unknown author gives the earliest account of the flourishing ports and maritime activities of the people of Peninsular India. The thriving maritime activities of the residents of Kaveri, Patnam and other seaports are described in glowing terms by the Greek and Egyptian writers. The influence of the sea is very ancient. This has led some scholars to speculate that the basic ethnic composition of Peninsular may have been influenced by overseas immigration. The impressive maritime activities of the Pallavas and the Cholas were but continuations of the earlier Satvahana interest in overseas trade. The cultural impact of the Pallavs is presented in the Cambodian kingdom of Angkor. The military impact of Chola in Sri Lanka and the Indonesian archipelago is recorded in some inscriptions. From early time until the 14th century, the sea presented an opportunity for South Indians trade and to pillage. Chinese records identify Kanchi as an important trade center. Other important centers on this Coromandel coast are mentioned in the Western classical sources, namely Kaveri Patnam, Tanjore, Pondicherry, Sopatma, Machilipatnam, etc. From these ports, South Indian merchants organized in guilds and sailed to the other Southeast Asian ports. They sailed with the southern Peninsular India. The existence of these trade centers on the coast and in the interior land constituted a vast commercial network. Trade system tying South Indians to a wider world persisted from the beginning of the Christian era to the 14th century when the Muslim control over Indian Ocean was gradually established.
Page 7, 1.4, Deccan Plateau. Since R.G. Bhandarkar, the Deccan region has received the serious attention of historians who have studied it as a single special entity. The Deccan Plateau is the triangular tableland lying to the north of Krishna and Tungabhadra rivers. It is separated from the northern plains by the Vindhyas and Satpur range of mountains. These mountains range have been effective barriers substantiative population movement from Gangetic Plain southward. Further, the Eastern Ghats and Western Ghats meet to isolate this table land from the far south. However, this topographical discontinuities and barriers did not prevent the cultural flow from Gangetic Plain to the Deccan and far south. As early as Nanda and Mauryas, the Gangetic military power had moved southwestward and southeastward to the coast of Peninsular by passing a natural barriers and establishing a outpost in the Godavari-Krishna basin. Bartenstein points out that the extension of Gangetic power were probably promoted by the availability of good iron and copper. Subsequently, the kingdoms of Deccan, from the Satavahanas to the Marathas, looked northward beyond the natural barriers of the plateau and also southward extension of the tributary regions and for cultural contacts. 1.5 Coromandel Coast Plain. Coromandel Plain extends from the tip of Peninsular to the northern edge of the broad delta
of the Godavari and Krishna rivers. In the Kaveri basin, this lowland is molded complexes structure by the rocky extensions of low hills that paralleled the coast called Eastern Ghats. The Coromandel Plain is traversed by streams draining these broken hill ranges, including the Nilgiris in the north and the Annamalai Palani and the Coromandel Hills in the south. Page 8. Peaks of this western highland of Tamil Nadu attain an elevation of 8,000 feet. The most important streams are Godavari, Krishna and Kaveri, each of which forms extensive fertile delta. The other important rivers are the Pennar, Pallar, Tambrapani and Vaigai. The Coromandel Plain provides one of the most important factors of agrarian periodization for South India and also for the gradual settlement of the plain with sedentary peasant communities, which are important factor in the development of civilization. This region is noted as first primary agrarian core area. These ancient uplands derive its agrarian significance, marking the edge of the coastal plain and possessing extensive cultivable land. However, tracts of such land are discontinuous owing to the deep cutting rivers and formidable rocky stratum. Ecotypes of this upland are hazardous because the rainfall have adversely affected by the rain shadow of western block and the highly variable monsoonal effects upon the peninsular interior. Most parts of the interior are within easy access of the plain at many points. It is to the broad fertile Coromandel Plain that people of uplands have been oriented since ancient times. Between the Coromandel Plain and the Nilgiri Peak at 8,000 feet constitute a tableland for a secondary agrarian core area of South India. The uplands of Coimbatore and Southern Salem, this region is ringed by a series of broken hill ranges of Shivroy, Kolamalai, Panchamalai, etc. The Kaveri has comprised a long recognized internal boundary between Southern Salem and Coimbatore. The Pallar and Ponnaiyar rivers too have also divided portion of this uplands. These major streams provided significant population clusters and also have served to connect the uplands with other more densely settled tracts of the Kaveri with the southern Tamil plain. Coimbatore occupies a strategic place on the trans-peninsular through the Palaghat Gap, thus constituting one of the tenuous links between the two coastal plains of the peninsula. Page 9, 1.6. The Mysore Plateau. The Mysore Plateau geomorphologically is different from the Coimbatore and Southern Salem and is more closely linked to the core of the Deccan Plateau. However, this region was historically been a continuation of the interior Tamil uplands. The entire upland complex of Coimbatore, Salem and southern part of Karnataka share a general topographical character and climate as well. It is dry area with rainfall pattern variable in quantity and timing. As far as the northern boundary of eastern coastal plain is concerned, it does not end abruptly at the rough hills, which makes the northern edge of Godavari. Skirtling the coast at this point is an important route way which the British call the Northern Circars. These include the modern districts Visakhapatnam and Srikakulam and those of Ganjampuri. This attenuated extension of the Coromandel lowland into Andhra plains. This constitutes a channel through which trade and people moved from the eastern part of Gangetic plain into the southern eastern peninsula. There is also some evidence of a reverse flow of religious influence and interaction from the Tamil plain to Orissa. This northern portion of Coromandel plain many a time figured in the affairs of peninsula south of the Godavari Krishna Delta. 1.7 West Coast. The west coast of the southern peninsula has peculiar topographical situation. Its isolation behind the high scrap of the western shapes has resulted in well-recognized discontinuation with the respect of socio-cultural formation and its settlement pattern. Yet we cannot deny the fact that its society and cultural elements of Dravidian India. The West Coast's interaction with Coromandel lowland and with interior uplands of modern Coimbatore and Salem, as well as with southern Karnataka, have been a low order and sporadic. However, the Venadu track of the extreme south provided continuous and close contact with other parts of the macro region. This historical evidences are mere and insufficiently to explain peculiar character of isolation of this region before the 19th century. It is also true that this geographical factor did not become an obstacle for some kind of cultural unity and variety. In case of Deccan regions of Bombay, Karnataka, the geography again played a crucial role in the cultural variation. Bidar, Gulbarg, Bijapur, Belgaum, Raichur, and parts of Dharwar and Bellary are linked to the Deccan cultural during the medieval times. Page 10. However, there is a well-recognized and major dialectical break between northern and southern Kannada districts, the Dharwar and the Mysore dialects respectively. This dialect division conforms to a basic division of Mysore Plateau by the watershed cross belt which traverses entire Karnataka area, and it further divides the drainage basin of the Krishna system to the north and that of Kaveri to the south. The dialectical variation of Kannada follow this topographical division and also other cultural elements. 1.8. The river basins. The rivers of South India offers excellent condition for agricultural based civilization. The Narmada, Mahanadi and Tungabhadra were comparatively less favorable for agriculture. They are deep with rocky bed and for some time they formed the natural barriers against the northern expansion. The river Krishna Godavari and Kaveri have been the life-giving factors in the history of South Indian civilization. They irrigated the fields and caused the flourishing vegetation before they drifted into the ocean. In fact, their sanctity has been in no way undervalued compared to the sacred Ganges. The sacred Kaveri, taking its birth in Brahmagiri of Coorg, runs through the whole of southern Karnataka and the Tamil Nadu. The island cities of Srirangam in Tamil country are created by it. All along its march or its sanctity attracts the devotees who sing its glory. Many famous temples have been erected from time to time at its bank. Page 11. 1.9. Climate and crop. South India enjoys a variety of climatic conditions ranging from the extremely humid to the very dry and equally varied topographical features. The year may be broadly divided into four periods from the point of view of weather and climatic conditions. That is, A. The southwest monsoon period, lasting over 3 months from the beginning of June when the western portions have their heavy rainfalls. B. The retreating or northeast monsoon period, lasting a little over 2 months from October when the northeastern portions of the South India gets their much needed though meager showers. C. The cold weather period from the middle of December to the end of February, and D. The hot weather period during March, April and May. Most parts of South India, on account of their altitude, enjoys an equable climate throughout the year. Extreme climate are rarely experienced even in the so-called interior areas somewhat removed from the sea coast. It is not at any rate to the extent of that one experiences such extreme in many regions in central and north India. Climate of South India has facilitated the cultivation of three traditional cropping patterns, that is, 1. Under dry cultivation, jowar, wheat, pulse, ragi, cotton, oilseeds, spices, and 2. Under wet crops, rice, sugar, cane, and 3. Under garden crops, areca, coconut, plantain, mulberry, etc. are grown. In the modern times, plantation crops such as coffee, tea, cardamom, pepper beetle, pepper, cinchona are included. The foregoing outlines of the geographical settings of the South India would help us to understand as to how South Indian people responded to the age of their geographical environment. The topographical and terrain factors have direct bearing on the formation of territorial fragmentation and subcultural varieties in South Indian society and political system. Local loyalties and parochial relationship among different socio-cultural groups are prominent because of the terrain factors. Territorially differentiated units of culture and society are deeply embedded in the earlier Dravidian culture of the classical period. Unlike northern India, peninsular India does not blessed with great plain, which could render some semblance of uniformity in its polity and cultural. Hence, the South Indian political system did not come under single political authority till the rise of Vijayanagara in the 14th century. In political, cultural and social matters, all Tamil country and the southern part of Karnataka and Andhra may be seen as together by the movements of people of all kinds, from Brahmanas to the landless folk. The outcome of this diverse interaction was due to the geographical factors which sets it off from the physical contiguous territories. Page 12, 1.10, let us sum up. In this unit, we have tried to learn about the pivotal role played by the geographical factors in the formation of South Indian society and polity. We have noted the broad definition, South Indian territory, socio-cultural implications of the Bharat and Dakshinapath in the historical writings. We have listed number of geographical factors which influence the course of South Indian history and civilization, that is, the influence of seas and the maritime activities of South Indian people, the peculiarity of geographical position of Deccan Plateau in determining the course of Indian history. Similarly, we have seen the influence of Coromandel or Eastern Coast and Western Coastal Plains, which have provided contact with outside world as well as interior lands. We have also noted the role of Mysore Plateau, which provided linkage to Deccan Plateau and southern part of South India. We have also noted the role of South Indian rivers basin in the birth agricultural based civilization in ancient South India. The influence of climate and the pattern of crops also noted in this unit. The overall picture that emerged from our study is that the topographical and terrain factors have directed being and the formation of the territorial fragmentation and subcultural variation in the South Indian society and politico-cultural system. We have seen that unlike northern India, peninsular India does not blessed with great plain which could have rendered some semblance unity in its polity and culture. In other words, the South Indian political system did not come under single political authority till the rise of Vijayanagara in the 14th century. Page 13, 1.11. Questions for self-study. 1. Discuss the influence of geographical factors on the history and culture of South India. 2. Bring out the main geographical features of South India and examine the influence on the course history. Short notes. 1. Influence of western and eastern coastal regions. 2. Deccan Plateau. 3. Importance of rivers basin. 4. Climate and crops of South India. 1.12. Books for further study. 1. Bertram Stein, Peasant State and Society, Medieval South India. 2. Subrayaluvai, Political Geography of Chola Country. 3. Yazdani J., The Early History of Deccan. 4. Romila Thapar, Recent Perspective of Early Indian History. 5. Divakar R.R., Karnataka Through the Ages.